This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit dollarshaveclub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Scheduled to join us here momentarily is Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel. We opened up talking about the Masters. Even Cakes watched a couple hours. Hours? Am I overestimating?
A few hours, definitely. I was dialed in.
Did you watch any on Saturday?
As they call it, the second nine instead of the back nine. Valdez has known that for years.
Did you watch any on Saturday?
No, not one stroke on
any
Saturday.
Any on Thursday or Friday?
About 5 minutes Thursday. Yeah. I mean, it's Thursday. I mean, yeah. there's so much meat left on the bone Thursday.
I'm kind of with you. I think on Saturday I was coaching soccer. I was aware of it. And then I did something else. We had a dinner party. I knew who was in the lead. And I knew that it was going to be interesting. I think I did watch maybe an hour on Saturday. And I thought it was going to be just epic with Bryson and Rory in the final pair.
I would love to know what the TV ratings are.
Did you see what Bryson said about Rory afterwards?
Specifically? I mean, he did the interview with
He said Balionis. Rory didn't speak to him the entire round. Like, somebody asked him, what did you think of, I'm paraphrasing, Rory's demeanor or whatever. He said they didn't talk.
Yeah. Well, let's ask Rex about that.
Yep. We can definitely do that.
All right. Rex Hoggard joins us right now from the Golf Channel on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Hey, Rex.
Morning. How you guys doing?
What'd you think about that? What'd you think about Rory not speaking to Bryson the entire round?
I don't think Rory would have spoken to anyone. If he was paired with Shane Lowry, who they've been friends with their entire lives, I'm not quite sure they would have done anything except for exchange what ball type they were playing on the first tee and, play well. I don't think he was so locked in. He was so focused. We didn't see anything out of Rory until that last putt dropped in the playoff on Sunday afternoon. He had wrapped himself in a bubble. He decided that this was the way he was going to try to do it this year. He's tried to do it essentially 10 different ways to win the career Grand Slam, to win the green jacket, and none of them had worked. So he was trying this, and it worked.
Where exactly were you when that putt dropped for him to win it?
Someone else asked me that this morning. I was actually, there's a kind of a grill room, and then there's sort of an ante room, I guess you would call it, before you get to the locker room. Uh-huh. And I was in there because I kind of wanted to get the flavor of what was going on 18, but you also had to watch it on TV because it's kind of hard to see because the crowds were so big. And I realized it's the same spot I was at when Tiger won in 2019. So I'm like, I need to find a new spot. Apparently, I'm not very creative anymore.
Yeah, when CBS did the overhead shots of 18 there at regulation, and in the playoff, oh my gosh. Now, I know there's a lot of people at the Masters, I get it, but you really can't picture it until you see how many people deep at 18 to see that. And they were all rooting for Rory. I got a little emotional. I'm sure you didn't because you do this for a living. But just watching it, and I'm not a huge Rory fan, but I could tell that this was the weight of the world on his shoulders for the last 11 years. It was so fun to watch. And man, it was really cool. CBS did a great job, I thought, Rex, when, you know, Nance just did the recap real quick, 45 seconds, just talking about, you know, Harry and his caddy. And then they don't speak. And all you do is see Rory walking up, shaking hands with everybody, hugging his wife, hugging his daughter, crying. I thought that was very cool that CBS did.
I thought it was brilliant TV, yep. And I only kind of watched it out of the corner of my eye because I kind of wanted to be in the middle of that scrum. And you're right. Normally, I do have a heart of stone, the way my family likes to describe it. I don't get very emotional very often. And I didn't when he made the putt. Certainly, there was a lot of emotion. I thought it was a really cool moment. You're right. I mean, that was a decade worth of fertility. That was a decade worth of pressure. That was a decade worth of questions and doubt that just came flowing out of him there in that moment. I did get a little emotional when he walked up to the clubhouse and he was hugging everyone that meant so much in his life. And a couple of those people I'm close with, and I had an idea of what this was going to mean, but it was hard. You don't have a heart if you didn't have some sort of emotion in that moment.
Right.
Did you expect Bryson to put up more of a fight?
I did. I will say that if you looked at what he was doing well all week long and what he wasn't doing well all week long, I'm not surprised that he struggled. His ball striking, his iron play specifically, was way off. He was driving the ball really well. He clearly was putting and chipping well. He had to. But his ball striking, he finished 48th in the field out of 52 players who made the cut and strokes gained approach. And that golf course, more than any other golf course, it's number one on the PGA Tour when it comes to GIR bias.
Right.
And everyone says it's a putting contest. It is not. It's a second shot golf course. And that just caught up with him eventually.
What do you think happened to Rory on that one that he hit into the creek? You're talking about second shots.
Yes, 13.
Or I guess I actually was his third shot, but it was a layup. Just a terrible miss? Nerves? What happened?
We could sit here and do this all morning long. I mean, what happened to Rory, I don't know, on 15 on Thursday? What happened to Rory on 17 on Thursday? What happened to Rory on 1 on Sunday? There were so many times. I mean, I guess Rory happened, to put it quite bluntly. I mean, he is a world-class player. He won the career Grand Slam. He's a generational player. He is going to go on the Mount Rushmore, full stop. There is no more conversation about this anymore. But he is prone to these sort of, I would call, maybe lapses. I don't know if it's technical. I don't know if it's mental. It's hard to put a finger on it. When you hear Rory talk about what happened on 13, and it's worth pointing out, it was one double bogey made on the 13th hole all weekend long. That was his.
Mm-hmm.
So you get an idea of how just out of the ordinary that was. I liked his explanation. He said his third shot, he liked his layup, he liked his tee shot, he went with a three wood, and he said it was a little bit of an uphill line. He has a tendency to kind of pull those a little left. So I think he was probably given a little room, and it just came out right on him for some reason. He clearly wasn't aiming at the creek, but that was shocking is the only way to say it.
How did you feel going into the final round after the way he played on Saturday, where, you know, he had a couple eagles, he just balled out, shot 66. And Friday and Saturday, I mean, his numbers were crazy. How did you feel about his chances going into Sunday with a two-pop lead?
It's an old joke by now because I've been saying it since Wednesday. But I picked him on Wednesday to win. I'm not going out on too much of a limb there, let's be honest. He's the world number two. There was a lot of reasons to pick him. And of those reasons, I could sit and say, yes, of course, he should be the easy favorite. But I didn't have much bass in my voice when I did it. If I'm being honest, there might have been even a question mark at the end of it when I said, Rory, maybe? It was really tough for me to do it because of the emotion that we attach to it. If I take his name off and his picture off the resume, of course you're going to say, that guy's going to win multiple green jackets. He's built for this golf course. He was made in a lab to win green jackets, but we all know his history at this place. We all know what he did in 2011. We know how difficult it has been over the last decade for him to find a way to get over that hurdle. When he made the turn, and he was four strokes up, I had someone walk up to me in the press center and be like, all right, well, you can take your victory lap now. And even in that moment, I was like, no, I don't think I can because of the things we just pointed out. I didn't think it was going to happen on 13, but I knew it was out there.
When he spoke to the media after the round, after the ceremony, was he emotional? I did not get to see that. Rex, you there, bud?
Might have lost him.
Sounds like we lost him.
We lost Rex.
So, in terms of guys who are closest to the career Grand Slam, which Rory just did by winning the Masters.
Yep, one of six all time.
I just looked. Phil is a U.S. Open short. Is that right?
Yes.
And probably over. I wonder if there are any other guys
Rex is back.
Who will have a shot at it. Hey, Rex.
Sorry about that, bud.
Sorry about that. Hills of Augusta, my fault.
Okay. No, I was just asking. He was obviously emotional and when he took the green jacket from Chef when Nance was interviewing him. Crazy emotional on the green after the round. Was he emotional talking to the media after the ceremony?
No, I mean, he had some time. I will say that one question got him, and it's from my colleague Eamon Lynch, and Eamon is from Northern Ireland. He knows Rory really well, and he knew the soft spot to go after, and it was, what did it mean to win it with Harry Diamond, his caddy, on the bag? And it's important to point out that Harry is so much more than just a caddy. They've been best friends since they were 7 years old. They met on the putting green of the course they grew up on, and this means the world to him. And that was the only time he got a little emotional. He broke down a little bit. My guess is Rory is really good at taking time to process things. His next start isn't going to be until another week. He's not playing this week in Hilton Head. So he'll take some time and get through that emotion. But the weight of this, I think, is going to be so liberating for him.
So I was just looking. Jordan Spieth's a guy who's won three. So he has a shot at this career Grand Slam. Now, he hasn't been playing like Rory's played the last couple years, but do you think he has a realistic shot to complete the career Grand Slam?
I just finished a story for NBCSports.com on that, and I think, unfortunately, a lot of people are going to skip past that headline this morning for a lot of different reasons. One, it's because that finish was so exciting. I mean, you can get caught up in exactly what happened on Sunday, but when you look at the context of the career Grand Slam, just the sixth person to do it ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, that again, that is Mount Rushmore. Consider that no one has done it for 2.5 decades. Tiger Woods did it way back in 2000. Yes, I think Jordan certainly could join the club next month, and this conversation is going to sound silly. As you pointed out, he's not in form. Quail Hollow, where the PGA is going to be held, really not his cup of tea, so I wouldn't expect that. And there's others who could certainly make a play for it. John Rahm is right in the mix. Brooks Koepka, you certainly can't discount Scottie Scheffler, what he's done very early in his career. You can keep going on and on, but as I think we've learned over the last decade from Rory, that climb to the career Grand Slam is not linear. You do not just anticipate it happening, because if you would have told me in 2011 when Rory picked up the third leg of the Slam at the Open Championship, I would have said, yes, he'll get it done within a year or two. Like, it seemed inevitable, but it wasn't. And the story that I told, I mean, of all the people, never won it. He never won the PGA.
Yeah. Are you surprised? I mean, Scheffler's overall numbers obviously were very good, finishing top five, but he was just kind of average on Friday and Saturday. Played better yesterday, shooting 69, but he shot even par on Saturday. Were you surprised that Scheff wasn't more of a factor?
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially when he opens up the way he did. I mean, to shoot 4 under on day one with no bogeys, that was a signature Scotty Scheffler round of golf. It was very Tiger-esque-like. It was very prevent defense. It was, I'm going to make everyone else come to me. And then what happened from there was very surprising. There was a very high level of frustration on the range, it seems like, after every round. And we sort of documented that on Live From each night, where he was trying to find something. And I think it keeps going back to the offseason injury. And that really set him back. And he's such a creature of habit that he essentially lost a month of his offseason, which he normally would have spent working to become what we've come to expect, which is machine-like. And I think he's still trying to make up that time.
Yeah. And then talk about what you thought about Justin Rose and how he played. He was not good on Saturday, but he was so good yesterday. And that putt he made for birdie on 18 was just huge. You know, he's been close a bunch of times too. How do you think this affects? How do you think this affects Justin?
I think this should be an inspiration, not just to Justin, but any player. I think we've sort of gravitated to younger and younger on the PGA Tour, and for good reason. When you have players like Ludvig Åberg and Nick Dunlap and all these young players who seem PGA Tour ready right out of college, but at 44 years old, it would have been easy to think, well, Justin Rose had a good first round and then he sort of faded, and that wasn't the case at all. And I do think it's interesting that he is setting a standard that I think a lot of players are probably going to follow. I don't think there's anyone, the way he takes care of his body, the way he invests in the machine, so to speak, is almost like LeBron James, where he understands that I can do this as long as I invest and I take the time to make sure my body is working correctly. And I don't think there's any limit to how long Justin Rose can do this because of that.
Rex, what's your guess for final round Masters ratings when they come out probably later today? I mean, those have to be huge numbers, right?
I would think so for a lot of different reasons. I mean, for no other reason, I don't know. If you'd asked me on Wednesday to give me the best case scenario, I would have said Bryson and Rory based on history, based on what happened at the U.S. Open last year, based on the two personalities, how different they are, based on LIV Golf versus PGA Tour. I could have come up with a lot of different narratives, and I would have never thought it could happen. I mean, the golf gods just cannot be that kind. It's important to point out that in the height of their careers, Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods never went head-to-head in the final group on a Sunday at the Masters. It simply doesn't happen. So when it does, you're going to savor it. I would imagine they're going to be very good ratings.
Got to say, the LIV golfers played really well. I mean, Koepka didn't, but you know, Reed 3, Bryson 5, even though he didn't play well yesterday. Bubba Watson played really well. Rahm played much better on the weekend than he did on Thursday. You know, Hatton was in the mix until yesterday. So, I mean, the LIV guys, you know, we were talking to someone on Wednesday or Thursday. He predicted he wouldn't see one LIV guy in the top 10, and you had like five of the top 20.
Yeah, I wouldn't make that prediction. And I've made this argument since the beginning, and I'll continue to make it. If you were a top 10 player before you went to LIV from the PGA Tour, you're still probably a top 10 player. Certainly that applies when you look at Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, he's the U.S. Open champion. John Rahm is the interesting one that you mentioned there, because I think a lot of people based what he did in the majors, and I don't think it's a fair sample size because he only played three. He was injured for the U.S. Open. They equated that to him going to LIV somehow made him soft, and I don't think that's a good analogy. I think he is still driven, and I think he'll still find a way to be a generational player. I would put him in the conversation, and if we're going to start looking at players of who's next up to win the career Grand Slam, I would put him very high on the list simply because there is a tenacity to John Rahm that we don't see in many players. I would argue that we don't see even in Rory McIlroy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to serve him well.
So,
he's finished second at the Open and fourth in the PGA. So those are the two that he needs.
And I would say those two golf courses are probably the two that fit him the best. And if we're going to sit here and draw the line between where you start and where you finish the career Grand Slam, he's probably in the best position.
So off to Hilton Head, or are you going home for the week?
No, I'm off to Hilton Head for a couple of days. Actually, I'm on the road for 3 weeks straight, so it'll be fun. I always look forward to Hilton Head. It's a bit of an unwind. It's a bit of a decompression after what is always a tense week at the Masters, and then I can't wait to get to New Orleans now because Rory will be playing there, and I can't wait to talk to him.
Now, I know the Heritage is a signature event. Is there a cut at Heritage?
There is not. Of the signature events, only the three player hosted. So okay. Tiger Woods' event, Jack Nicklaus' event.
Gotcha. All right, well, thanks for joining us. Appreciate
thanks,
the time.
See you guys.
Yep.
Thank you, Rex. Rex
He's
Hager.
One of your boys from Live From, huh?
He's great, man.
Yeah.
And he's on his way to Hilton Head. I'm jealous.
Yeah, so Jordan Spieth just needs one, Cakes.
That's right.
He's a future Grand Slam. But when's the last time he won a major? It feels like it's been a while.
I think it's like 2015.
15 or 16.
Okay. Yeah.
It's been a while. But hey, that was the same type of deal with Rory McIlroy. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in, you can always hit us up at Junks Radio on X or give us a call at 800-636-1067. Welcome back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Act Chuck, he's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. Wanted to bring up a couple of Commanders topics. So we are less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, and we'll be ramping up our draft talk here in the coming days. Should I start with an interesting one or a tragic one?
Let's start with the bad news first.
All right, so a lot of people have seen this story about the passing of LSU receiver Kyron Lacy.
Mm-hmm.
Kyron Lacy was 24, receiver at LSU. Jaden Daniels was tight with him. Apparently he went to Instagram and had a reaction to the passing of one of his close friends. But Lacy was on, was about to be on trial, right?
Yeah, because he was involved with a traffic collision. A
fatal car accident.
In January.
Yeah.
I think it was January 10th. And he passed another car, sped by him, and there was it caused a head-on collision, and a 78-year-old passenger died.
Right, he killed a 78-year-old man.
Yep. And he fled the scene. Lacy fled the scene, didn't call 911, and he was arrested 2 days later.
And so Lacy committed suicide, which is terrible.
Yes. He's obviously had some issues.
Yeah, I guess he was, the sheriff's office said it was called out to a weapons disturbance from a relative of Lacy.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he discharged the weapon, got into his vehicle, was pursued by authorities for, I think it was 15 or 20 minutes.
Right.
And then he crashed. And then when they came upon the crash scene, they realized he had shot himself in the car they could get to him.
During his 2 years playing with Jaden, he caught 54 passes, 826 yards, and 7 touchdowns.
Right.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's
tragic.
You know, big part of that offense, friends with Jaden Daniels, and then just unfortunately has this situation.
And I think that
decides to commit suicide.
Lacy's dad had, I don't know if it was on social, but he said, you just need to stay in touch with your kids because you never know what's going on in their heads, especially if you don't see them or talk to them for a while.
Young parents, start talking to your kids at a very early age and make sure they are confident and comfortable confiding in you. Mm-hmm. Don't be cool with, I'm all right, or I'm good, mm-hmm. when you know deep down something isn't right. And he went on and on.
Mm. Sad story.
Yep.
Very sad.
Very sad. I mean,
and I don't know where Lacy was projected to go in the draft.
Not
but,
sure.
I know he was at the combine. And, you know, he probably would have been drafted by somebody. But although who knows about what happened with the what would have happened with the
legal case.
The legal case, yeah. He might have gone to jail. But it's tragic.
And imagine even if like the trial went his way,
mm-hmm.
just living with killing somebody else.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that probably played a big role in him deciding to kill himself. Like he probably had a lot of guilt from killing that person in an auto accident.
Yeah.
I mean, some of his actions right afterwards didn't seem like, I mean, he caused a hit and run, fled the scene, had to be apprehended later. But I mean, if you're involved in an accident that winds up killing somebody, I'm guessing most people are going to have that guilt on their conscience. It's a tough thing to move past.
I'm sure he was tight with Malik Nabers. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he was tight with Brian Thomas from Jacksonville. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of guys are probably affected by it, including Jaden. So we got that, you know, out there. So
all right, so the interesting one I think will make Cakes happy is apparently Ryan Fitzgerald is one of the top kicking prospects out of college, was a kicker for Florida State. And he's drawing serious interest from NFL teams ahead of the draft. One of those teams that apparently we'll have a kicking session with is the Washington Commanders.
I mean, it just makes all the sense.
He had a private workout with the Patriots. He's also looking at to do a private session with the Ravens.
I mean, I know they re-signed Zane Gonzalez to a one-year deal, but how confident can you be in him? You should always have competition up and down your roster, not just a kicker.
Well, the Commanders used Cade York last year.
Mm-hmm.
They used Greg Joseph. They used obviously
Seibert.
Austin Seibert.
Yep.
And Zane Gonzalez.
I mean, I'd argue Seibert was the main guy.
So they used four kickers in games.
Seibert was very good up until he got injured, and
yeah.
He was the one that missed the extra point against the Cowboys, correct? That was Seibert. That was a Seibert miss.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, that was a brutal miss.
Yeah, so they they're not completely 100% sold on Zane.
I mean, nor should you be.
Yeah, and Fitzgerald was a really good kicker and in college, I think I have his stats here in front of me. He made 98%, 78% of his actual field goal attempts and 98% of his extra points. Now, the extra points are a lot closer.
Right.
But 58 of his 74 field goal attempts, including a 59-yarder. So, you know, he's one of the best kickers in the country.
The Seibert thing is mysterious to me because, all right, he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, Zane Gonzalez was like the Band-Aid for Seibert, right? And then Zane Gonzalez didn't even hit that many field goals if you look towards the end of the season. Seibert was 27 for 30 in 9 games.
Mm-hmm.
He was 8 for 8 on 40 to 49-yard field goals. So it wasn't just gimmies. Now, he had a bunch of chip shots in there, too. Now, his weakness was the over 50 where he was 2 for 5. But those were his only misses. And then you throw in, I guess, the extra point. He did miss two of those.
Oh, he missed two in that game.
Two in that game?
I don't know if it was just in that game. He was 22 for 24 on extra points.
Okay.
Anyway, I thought, they were all Band-Aids in reality because of what happened with McManus. You're sleeping, it all started with McManus.
McManus, that's true.
McManus, and then, you know, Cade York and Joseph and Seibert and... Might even be missing one.
So I'm reading.
I feel like there was five.
From PFF, Seibert returned.
Greg Joseph.
Seibert came back for the Week 12 game against the Cowboys. He missed a field goal in both extra point attempts.
Yeah. Brutal you're missing, game. You're missing, and I might be wrong, but it was like a Middle Eastern guy.
Yeah, but I don't think he actually kicked in a
game. No, but he was on the roster for a while.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm forgetting his name. It was like training camp fodder.
His name's right there in my brain, but I can't quite pull it.
I want to say kicked in the preseason.
I think you're right.
But
he only lasted like a day.
But you can't use one. Like, they don't have many picks. They can't use a pick on a kicker, can they?
No.
They're not going to do that.
You don't burn like a fifth, sixth, or seventh round pick on a kicker. You find those guys out on the street. How many times? I've been saying this for years.
I know, but if you can get
these guys are so expendable and or... I thought they were easy to find. Apparently, not as easy to find as I thought. Kickers are expendable. Adam Peters is not going to start burning draft capital on kickers and punters. If he does, I'm going to start raising an eyebrow. I'm going to say, I'm going to put him in the crosshairs if he starts doing that.
I realized that they had to make a move because of what happened with Brandon McManus. But I think he had a pretty good year when Green Bay signed him.
He did have a good year.
So he certainly would have been their
guy. I looked up his numbers, but he was pretty good from what I remember.
He would have been your guy for Commanders fans. He would have been your guy.
We were sleeping on Ramiz Ahmed.
I am officially sleeping on him. You're correct.
How about Riley Patterson?
That name definitely rings a bell, too.
I'm just going back to what they were doing. Cade York, Ramiz Ahmed, Riley Patterson, they were brought in. Man.
Yeah, Patterson might have kicked in the preseason. Or maybe just in camp.
I don't know. I could see you using like a 6th-round pick, Cakes. If you're getting like the best collegiate kicker who you believe is going to be your kicker for the future.
All right. Maybe a late-round pick. Maybe I could live with that. By the way, McManus.
I'm not saying be like the Raiders who took Janikowski in the first round.
McManus was 95%. Now he started in late October.
11 games.
95% of his kicks.
So he made.
Okay, but Seibert was right there.
He missed one field goal, and he made every extra point.
Right.
He was pretty damn good.
He was very good. And I think, but I think the Packers gave him like a long-term deal. I think toward the end of the year, he signed an extension with them.
Yeah.
They're like, we're not letting
you
go.
Well, he would have been the guy, but
right.
They had to make a move. I get it. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see if Zane can last the entire season. I would bet not. But we'll see who they bring in. Maybe it's this Fitzgerald kid.
And then if it doesn't work out, you bring back a donk like Seibert.
Yeah, then you just
because there'll be guys out there. I mean, remember Seibert had 7 field goals in one game.
You bring back just the one of the litany of recycled kickers that are always looking for gigs. Just figure it out. Adam Peters, figure out the kicking situation.
Well, they thought they had it figured out.
Well,
they did.
Apparently it's not figured out.
Do you have a vibe at all as to what Peters is going to do next Thursday?
No. You know why? Because he doesn't tip his hand like guys in the past that used to work here.
I thought your vibe was he was going to trade down.
I think he's going to trade out of the 2nd-round pick. I think he's going to keep the 1st-round pick. I think he's going to move off 61, which is their 2nd-round pick.
Isn't it crazy? The NFL draft is
10 days away.
Basically a week away.
Yep.
Crazy.
It's not as much buzz because other things have kind of supplanted it on the sports calendar.
Well, there's also less buzz because they're not picking number 2
overall. They're picking 29, yeah. I
mean, that's why there's less buzz.
That's all we were talking about last year.
Yeah, they're not picking in the top 5. Picking at 29 is boring, but that's the offshoot of having a playoff team, which is great. You'll take that trade 10 times out of 10.
I mean, usually we do a mock draft here on the show.
Right.
Because the Commanders are picking in the top 10 or close to it.
Mm-hmm.
They're picking 29. I don't think we can do one this year.
Remember when we would do the mock drafts with people from each of the cities leading up to the Commanders pick? Imagine if we did it when they were 29. Oh, the nightmare draft would have to deal with.
Producers would be scrambling. Matt and Matt, they would just be.
But we would do it when the Commanders picked like 12th or 13th.
They'd be doing fireball shots by about the 15th or 16th pick.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in, you can always hit us up at Junks Radio on Twitter or give us a call at 800-636-106.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Seven. So I just saw this article about the phrases that apparently you're not supposed to use at the Masters.
Okay.
I don't know if this is like a law for the broadcasters. I mean, law, I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean.
Oh, definitely guidelines.
They're no-nos. And we always hear that they don't use the term fans.
Right.
So I'm going to take that off the board.
They're patrons.
Mm-hmm. Can you name the other eight terms that supposedly you're not supposed to use when talking about the Masters?
Well, you have to call the azaleas azaleas. You can't just call them flowers. I know that's one.
That's not one of them listed here.
All right, well, you have to call it the second nine, not the back nine.
That is correct.
I know that.
You can't say back nine. It's second nine.
Let's see. It's second nine. What are the other?
I know the driving. You don't call it the driving range.
Correct. It's another one.
You call it the practice, either the practice range or the practice area.
The tournament practice area.
Okay. All right. Valdez, do you know any of these others that are?
They don't use the word rough.
Correct. It's the second cut.
Second cut.
Okay. First cut.
First cut.
Yeah,
okay.
First cut. Yeah. What about he didn't put it in the water, they say Ray's Creek?
That's not one of the ones listed here. That may be what they say. Some of these seem kind of goofy. They don't want people to say you hit it in the sand trap.
Bunker?
Bunker is acceptable.
What are the others? Okay. What's another term?
Do the trap or bunker?
Trap, bunker, sand, and I guess bunker only. Some bunkers have names too.
Like they do.
Yeah, like the McKenzie bunker.
I think they wanted to be maybe more specific. Like they say there's a grand total of 44 bunkers filled with spruce pine sand. That's sourced from North Carolina. 12 line the fairway, 32 guard the green.
Valdez, you know what I'm convinced of?
What's that?
And we talked about it, and I think you were on one side, I was on the other side, but now I've come over to your side.
Can I guess? I think I know what you're going to say.
Yep. I think you know.
There's always been a controversy about whether they pipe in bird music. Is that what you're...
No.
Because, I'm watching it yesterday, like, so many birds.
I don't believe there are squirrels at Augusta.
Thank you.
And I think it's because they use some... So squirrels do not like peppermint, and they don't like garlic. They don't like certain types of oil.
Okay. How do you know all these things?
Because we had squirrels rip into our screened-in porch.
Okay.
And so we looked it up. How can you keep squirrels away from your house? And there's these little pellets you can buy. They're squirrel repellents.
Okay.
and they're made with peppermint and garlic. They don't like that stuff. So if you sprinkle these pellets around your house, they say it should keep them away from your home.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how well it works, but I'm convinced that Augusta, they use something to keep the squirrels out. Now, I understand that squirrels want to stay away from people, and there's so many people there.
Yeah.
But, like, when you're watching guys in practice,
you should see
a squirrel just run around.
You should see one random
just run across the fairway. Yeah.
I've never thought about it until Barstool proposed that question.
Yeah.
And I was like you, Jason. I was like,
it's almost impossible not to.
There's 1,400 acres. How is there not a squirrel
there? And
there's
a billion trees.
Do you see them in other tournaments, though?
Well,
I don't know that I ever see it when I watch. Now, I don't watch golf like you do.
I don't ever,
if you watch the Valero Open in Texas, are you going to see a squirrel?
Probably not, but I haven't heard that about other courses. I've only heard it about Augusta. That they are no squirrels on the property.
No squirrel policy.
My dad had squirrels rip into the screened-in porch, and you know what he does? Mm. He has a gun, and he shoots them in the backyard.
I'm going to guess they're not doing that at the Masters, but who knows?
But your other terms, that they never refer to it as a country club or a golf course.
So it's just Augusta National is what it's always
referred to. Or Augusta National Golf Club.
Okay.
It's a final pairing, not a twosome.
Okay. That's true. That's true. It's a good point.
It's not the fourth round, Cakes.
It's a final round, right?
Final round.
And then if they refer to somebody...
Nobody calls it the fourth round anywhere.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And if they...
any golf course.
And if they refer to a player who's won a previous tournament, they won't mention that sponsor's... Like, if it... I used Valero because apparently it's the Valero Texas Open.
Yeah,
so they wouldn't say so-and-so won the Valero, is coming off a win at the Valero Texas Open. They would say coming off a win at the Texas Open.
They're not giving
sponsors free love.
Hey, you know what? We don't do that here anymore either. You got to pay for play, my friends.
Pay for play.
You got to get your name on here. You got to pay up, my friends.
I think we asked people if they've ever been to Augusta. If they've seen squirrels,
right.
And I think one guy called and said he saw one way up in a tree,
right.
But you never see him just running across the grass, fairway.
I think we asked John.
We asked John, mm-hmm. John said he never really thought about it, but he said, nah, now that I think about it, I don't think I've ever seen a squirrel there.
But again, see, I'm going to probably the next tournament I watch is whatever the next major is.
All right.
I'm going to bet I'm not going to see a squirrel. But maybe I will. Now I'm going to be looking for it.
Look.
You may be looking for it.
You're probably right. You're probably right. I mean, anytime, if there's so many people, the squirrels probably kind of just stay away. But people have said specifically about Augusta that there's no squirrels. And if there are no squirrels, they obviously put something around the property to keep them out.
What if our friend Glenn Hardesty, a.k.a. Squirrel, decides to go to the Masters?
Yeah, that would count.
There'd be a squirrel on the premises. Somehow you'd make it happen.
Anyway, I was just...
Was anybody else thinking about Feinstein yesterday?
I thought about it for a moment when Rory won. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
he was close with Rory.
Perfect event.
Yeah.
Rory finally wins.
Yeah, it was sad he couldn't be there.
John couldn't be there.
Yeah. I mean, how many Masters did John Feinstein attend over the years?
Isn't that crazy how he loved Rory?
Yeah.
Loved him. And the year Rory wins the Masters,
yep,
John passes away before it.
That sucks.
It's nuts. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there about the squirrels. So now I'm going to be watching the RBC down in
Hilton Head. Were you looking for squirrels in this tournament?
Yes.
Because I remember having this discussion, and I wish I had paid attention and looked for squirrels, and I didn't watch. If you didn't catch it, then probably it didn't exist.
But you also have to remember, squirrels, I mean, there are thousands of people on every hole, pretty much. Squirrels are not going to come near the people.
Right.
Oh, the people. They're going to stay away, or they're going to be high in trees, and you're obviously not going to, the camera's not going to show you high in the trees, so.
Yeah, I mean, but usually the camera's just focused on the golfers on the fairway.
Right, but it's just crazy you wouldn't see a random squirrel just running around the property somewhere.
I know, you're kind of obsessed with it.
But I mean, everything at Augusta is perfect.
Yep.
Perfect. And you don't see bird poo anywhere. You don't see squirrels, no deer running around.
Did you see the story coming out of the South Florida Rice baseball game?
I did not.
Oh, I think I did. Is this the guy who grabbed the? They had a bee delay.
Yes, they had a bee delay.
Wow.
And so they had to find a beekeeper.
Okay.
And you know, normally you would see a beekeeper, and they have the big suit on.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, this guy's wearing.
And they have like the, you know, kind of like huge t-shirt, like dishwashing gloves.
He's wearing like overalls and a white t-shirt.
And he grabbed it barehanded.
Just grabbed it with his hand.
Just took the nest off.
Just grabbed it. It was hanging, I think, on like the top of the dugout, and he just grabbed it.
And there's bees flying everywhere.
I mean, I guess.
Dude, with his bare hands though.
That's
no
crazy.
Gloves.
I would never do that in a trillion years.
How much money would it take for you? I mean, to grab a beehive barehanded.
Thousands of dollars. Because I'm going to be walking around and my hand is going to look like a Hulk hand for like 2 weeks.
Well, plus you'd probably get stung all over your body.
I mean, I'm allergic to a lot. I'm pretty sure I'm not allergic to bees, but I don't want to get stung by 10 bees. It's going to hurt.
I don't know. I'm going to say 10 years old. You know, we used to play baseball in my backyard, and there were two or three pine trees. And one of them had not a beehive. Mm-hmm. It was yellow jackets.
Yeah.
I got stung by 7 yellow jackets, probably looking for a tennis ball back there.
Yeah, it was pretty fun, right?
Oh, it was horrific.
Yeah. And a yellow jacket stings you. It can keep stinging you.
Maybe it was one guy that got me 7 times.
A bee stings
you. But I had 7 stings.
If a bee stings you, then it's dead. Like, it uses its stinger. It just dies. But if a yellow jacket or a wasp or a hornet stings you, they can just keep stinging you.
But like Cake said, that guy just casually went out there in his overalls.
No, he's a manly man.
And didn't use gloves.
No, I would have shot it with a BB gun from 100 yards away. Right. I'm not going to go grab it with my bare hands. Are you kidding? Impossible.
Yeah, that's...
Or I'd have sprayed it with some Raid from like 50 feet away. Hope that did the job.
Yeah. Do you have a pest control thing at your house?
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm just burning money.
I quit, and now I've seen a couple of ants.
Yep. Gotta get them back.
All right, we gotta get out of here. For Cake Spish, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Be Mitch and Finley up next here on The Fan.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.